Welcome to Voice for Choice podcast, the podcast that focuses on China issues with special attention to the Central and Eastern European perspective. I'm your host, Kara Němečková. Joining me today will be Alicia Bachulská. Alicia is a policy fellow at the European Council on Foreign Relations, where she focuses on Chinese foreign policy and China-EU relations. She is also a research fellow at Choice and a regional analyst for Poland on the Map Influence project. Hello and welcome.
Hi, Kara. Thanks for having me.
Today, we will discuss Sino-Polish relations. But before we get to the real business, I was just wondering, how did you get to focus on China professionally?
That's a great question and one that doesn't come up that often. And I do have a romanticized but true story about it. So when I was 15, I think, it was early high school, I came across this book. It was a biography of Alexandra Davinel. And not many people know her, but she was this French-Belgian explorer, female explorer. That's quite an important thing to point out. And her life, when I read it, when I was 15 back at the time, the story of her life was so amazing. So she was extremely independent. She traveled to Asia. She lived in various countries across the continents. She learned, I think, over the course of her very, very long lifetime, I think 8 Asian languages. She was also like an opera singer, a spiritist, an anarchist. So she had a really interesting experience as a person who lived throughout the 19th century. She was also the first female, like non-Asian female, who managed to sneak into Lhasa in disguise, when Lhasa and Tibet were completely sealed off from foreigners. So back then I thought, wow, that's something that really fascinates me. And initially I wanted to study Tibetan and Mongolian. But in Poland back then, Tibetan studies were, like, you could enroll in Tibetan studies every 2 years. And this was not the year when I was actually finishing high school. And also it was the time around 2008 and the Beijing Olympics, where the whole idea of China being on the rise and being this success story, and the idea that, you know, you should learn Mandarin Chinese to be successful was very much out there. So I thought, well, why not Chinese? And that's how I ended up studying abroad in the UK at the School of Oriental and African Studies, Chinese and Development Studies.
What an interesting story. I must read that biography. And then when you eventually got to China, what was your first impression there?
Frankly, I do remember the smog and the pollution.
Same.
And, you know, you hear all these stories about the environment problems in China. But back then, it was 2011 when I got there for the first time. It was one of these worst years in terms of air pollution in Beijing. So I remember landing and thinking, is this actually fog? Or is this smog? And it was smog. So I also remember all these stories about people. I think this could have been urban myths, but people saying that, you know, after having spent a couple of years in China, they went back home to Europe and they've learned that, you know, their lungs are as if they were smoking a packet of cigarettes a day. And yeah, I guess this could have been urban myths, but nevertheless, it was one of my first impressions of China. And the situation has improved definitely over the years, but it was like one of these defining features of my first encounter with the country, but also the language barrier. When I got to Beijing for the first time, it was my second year of BA, of my BA degree. When you study at SOAS, you have to go to the country, the language you're studying in your second year. And I thought that, you know, after 1 year of studying Chinese, I should be able to communicate and get around Beijing. But actually, when I met the person who was supposed to, like, drive me to my dorm, I wasn't even able to tell him the address. Where, like, he couldn't understand what I was saying. So yeah, it took me quite a while to actually get the grasp of how to function and operate in China.
I can totally relate to that. How would you characterize the current state of Sino-Polish relations? What role has the conflict in Ukraine played in shaping that relationship?
So I think that in the short-term perspective, we're definitely witnessing a slowdown. So it's definitely about a couple of different elements playing a role out there. The war in Ukraine has been a game changer in many domains. When it comes to Poland's perception of China, China's tacit approval for the war in Ukraine definitely has shaped very significantly the way both Polish people, but also political and business elites look at China. But it's definitely not a black and white kind of shift in perceptions. There are still people who tend to, in a certain way, idealize China or perceive it as a potentially neutral player. So they don't necessarily see China's position on the war in Ukraine as an element of Sino-Russian relations and the very close relationship Beijing and Moscow have, but rather through this narrative that the CCP has been very much promoting all over the place about, you know, Chinese willingness to play a quote-unquote constructive role in managing the conflict. But this is, you know, the short-term perspective. But if you look at the past decade, the whole story of Poland's involvement in the 16, 17, 14 plus one platform of cooperation and also at the bilateral level, I think that there was, again, a slowdown that has been a long process in the making. First of all, related to the fact that the economic ties have not been developing as good as some people have expected. Economic cooperation, you know, is increasingly perceived as something that is securitized. So it's not only about these positive elements of cooperation, but also about weaponization and the fact that China has been coercively using economic ties as a way to influence third countries. Investment has not materialized on the scale that many people and political elites believed they could materialize. And I guess this is a very common theme across different countries in the CEE region. But in terms of the broader environment, I think that the geopolitical shift that is underway with the US and China tensions on the rise, this has also definitely played a role in terms of shaping bilateral relations. And I'm not trying to say that, you know, I'm very much against this narrative that because of the closeness between Poland and the US, US-China ties are the most important element shaping Warsaw's position towards China, but definitely the fact that China is seen more as a rival and a competitor rather than a partner, it has played a very important role in terms of how Polish political elites perceive Beijing.
And the Polish political elite, is there a consensus among them on how to handle the relationship with Beijing moving forward?
Frankly, I'm quite pessimistic in terms of my assessment. So China does not really occupy a lot of space in the Polish public debate. It depends whether you're looking at actual, you know, political parties or individual politicians, or whether you're looking at the expert debate. These are like very two different environments. But overall, compared to other areas or other partners such as the US, the war in Ukraine, Russia, China does not occupy a lot of space, and still this idea that you cannot envision long-term policies, foreign policies, without considering China in this broader picture, this idea hasn't yet trickled down to the level of all the decision makers. It's definitely popping up here and there, but it's still, you know, this kind of side part of the discussion. It's not occupying the center stage compared to Russia, Poland, or Poland-Ukraine relations and the war itself, for example.
Mm-hmm. But then if we take really the particular actors, the foreign minister, prime minister, and the president, how are they positioned one another in terms of the approach that Poland should take towards China?
That's a great question because it gives you a certain level of granularity that is necessary to understand that there is no unified approach in Poland towards China. The MFA has been more hawkish, I would say. In terms of like communication, it's very visible that China is perceived in a much more realistic way, and also in a way that takes into consideration the fact that China-Russia cooperation now does have an impact on the war in Ukraine and also should influence Poland's position towards China. This has been visible, as I said, in communications coming out from the MFA. But on the other hand, we have the presidential palace, which also traditionally has been quite pro or Beijing friendly, with our president Andrzej Duda oftentimes highlighting the fact that he believes he's a friend of Xi Jinping and that he has this personal connection with him that he could potentially leverage when tensions arise. This was visible during the pandemic when he was calling Xi Jinping to ask for assistance from Beijing. It has also been visible in the debate on potential banning of Huawei when it comes to 5G technologies. So it is out there, this idea that the presidential palace is more prone to seeing cooperation with China, continued cooperation as something valuable for Poland. But then also you have our Prime Minister, Mateusz Morawiecki, who has a history of, he hasn't been extremely vocal on China, but over time he has made a lot of remarks that are somehow related to China, for example, on 5G or recently on Taiwan and Ukraine. But these messages are usually directed at international audiences as in this element of signaling of what areas of policy that are not necessarily directly related to China are nevertheless strategically important for Poland. And in the end, they are related to China policy. But, you know, this is not a very straightforward kind of messaging.
And how does the public opinion fit into the picture? Is there an overall tendency of seeing China more critically, or are we seeing a polarized society with diverging views on China?
We have quite a few surveys, but most of them have been conducted, I think, during the pandemic. And back then, the COVID situation and the fact that COVID originated from China was one of the defining features that shaped public perceptions of China. And in this context, definitely there has been a shift towards perceiving China as a much more malign actor, with a lot of distrust expressed by the public opinion. But quite interestingly, you know, some people would, some of these surveys suggest that people have self-conflicting views on many China-related things. So on the one hand, they would say that, you know, many people would believe that China has intentionally created COVID for its own benefit, economic benefit, which, you know, I mean, it's problematic on many levels. While on the other hand, they would also say that China has been one of the biggest victims of COVID because it has really badly damaged its reputation, its image, so on and so forth. I think a lot of these results suggest that China is not necessarily seen through facts-based lens, but rather it's very easy to project one's own ideas onto China because it is, you know, this very faraway country for most of the people in Poland. People are not very China literate. They don't have a lot of knowledge or they don't have a lot of interest in understanding Chinese foreign policy or, you know, the complexities of the situation. So it's very easy for them, for example, if they're prone to, you know, thinking of conspiracy theories, to project this kind of ideas and then without really thinking them through, somehow feeling that this kind of ideas are attractive to them. So I think that, yes, overall, we have a tendency to look at China through more skeptical lens at the level of society. But this does not mean that the society is well informed when it comes to why they feel that, you know, China should be judged in a more harsh manner, let's say.
Earlier this year, the Polish PM linked the Ukrainian conflict to a possible Chinese strike on Taiwan. How could this view inform Poland's Taiwan policy?
I don't think that this declaration was actually related to Poland's Taiwan policy. This was rather, you know, it's very important to highlight where and when Morawiecki actually said these words. So he was in Washington visiting the US at the Atlantic Council, addressing the American audiences, understanding that the China rivalry issue is now the centerpiece of the debate in the US, and also understanding the fact that for Poland and many other CE countries, the fact that the US is diverting some of its attention away from the CE region has very dangerous potential security implications in the context of the war in Ukraine. I think that Morawiecki's speech was especially important in terms of conveying this message and a growing perception, very important for CE countries, that NATO's eastern flank as a theater of war and East Asia, Northeast Asia, but also the Taiwan Strait, South China Sea, everything that's happening in China's neighborhood, that these two theaters are merging and you cannot really distinguish or separate them in terms of strategic choices. So for Morawiecki, the key message was that Ukraine cannot lose, because if Ukraine loses, both Russia and China will feel emboldened, and this is not, you know, a strategic gain for anybody, nor for the US, neither for the EU, and for Poland, this is an existential threat for Ukraine to lose. So I don't think this was something that was necessarily related to Poland's Taiwan policy. One China policy has been maintained as Poland's official policy in terms of managing Taiwan-China relations. So I don't think that there is any change in this domain on the horizon.
Absolutely. We should keep in mind that he said these remarks after President Macron's comments on strategic autonomy, which brings me to my next question. Traditionally, Poland has not been a big proponent of this concept, fearing that if misunderstood by EU's allies, notably the US, the concept might negatively affect the transatlantic relations. So where does Poland see the EU's positioning in the China-US rivalry?
I think that overall, Poland has not been very active in terms of trying to shape Europe's or the EU's China policy. But definitely Macron's comments, they were highly criticized in the Polish public debate, but not necessarily in the context of France and its China policy, but rather in the context of Macron's criticism of the state of transatlantic relations and the fact that, you know, strategic autonomy through the lens of Macron is an idea of the EU distancing itself from the US. And for Poland, this kind of an interpretation has been quite misleading in a way that, you know, this kind of binary terms, they don't have to be the most accurate ones in terms of strategic policy making for the EU as a whole. So it doesn't have to be an either or kind of dilemma. So it's definitely, Poland does support the idea of the EU becoming more resilient and developing its own defense capabilities, but it does not mean that we as the EU can or should distance ourselves from the US. And I think this was something that really was making the rounds and made the headlines in Polish media, but again, not in terms of Macron's China policy, but rather with this transatlantic messaging in mind, because again, this is crucial for Poland's security and it will remain so for the nearest future.
With the war in Ukraine, some observers argue that Poland has become a new center of gravity in Europe. Do you think that Warsaw could become the leading voice on China policy within the EU?
That's a very ambitious question and a very hard to answer. Frankly, I think in the short-term perspective, that's highly unlikely because there, as I said before, there is very little interest given to long-term strategic thinking when it comes to China policy. There are many other things on the table that are much more urgent. So the sense of urgency in terms of trying to find a new way of approaching China is not very high on the list of priorities. This does not mean that there is no strategic thinking going on, but I think that, you know, as in the case of many other European countries, one of the prerequisites would be to create actually a China strategy at the level of different European EU member states. And most of European countries, they don't really have China strategies. So I guess this would be one of the first steps and good steps to actually go forward with in terms of trying to move the debate forward. And I guess in this context, everyone is waiting for the German China strategy will be extremely important for the optics and for, you know, it will be a guiding post, a signpost for other countries to position themselves. And I'm not trying to say that, you know, German will dictate EU-China policy, but as an actor that is very strong and has very vast interest. It's definitely among these key players in terms of shaping the perception of not only the political elites, but also the business elites throughout Europe in many places. So yeah, I guess this would be something to look out for.
And to what extent Poland has these structural dependencies on China? I would expect that because in the case of Czechia, the dependencies are manifested especially through weak exports to Germany. Is that the case for Poland?
Yes, that's definitely the case. And, you know, that's an ongoing debate, understanding the scale of interconnectedness and also understanding the fact that China's industrial policy in the long term might actually impact Poland and other V4 countries in a way that would undermine their competitiveness and their current position in these global production and supply chains, for example, in the automotive industry. So that's something that is an ongoing issue. And I don't think that it has really materialized a lot in the debate outside of the expert circles.
Lately, there has been a lot of discussion about 16 plus 1 or 14 plus 1 essentially being a debt club. Do you think there is a chance for a renewed active Polish participation in what is remaining from the format? If not, should we expect Poland to follow the example of the Baltic countries and exit the grouping?
I think that an exit is very, very unlikely. Poland doesn't seem to be willing to, you know, rock the boat very hard. There is the issue of, you know, there are already enough problematic things on the table regarding the war in Ukraine that it seems that the current government doesn't want to add, it doesn't see an interest in kind of adding another dimension of complexity here. And I think that there is a belief that 14 plus 1 is dying a natural death. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense to make a big scene and exit the format, because it would only, you know, create a crisis, a diplomatic crisis, but it wouldn't really bring a lot of actual gains. So there is not much to gain and also not much to lose. So I think it's just, you know, we're going with the flow. And again, it is also related, I think, to the fact that Poland's China policy is a function of other foreign policy priorities. So there's not a lot of strategic thinking, I'm afraid, behind that.
And that's my final question. What will be the main drivers of the Polish foreign policy towards China in the months to come, in the years to come?
So according to the recent speech given by the Polish foreign minister, Mr. Rau, the status quo of Poland-China relations is still based on this EU triptych. So we're not interested, we as Poland is not interested in decoupling, American-style decoupling. Poland is definitely interested in de-risking, but it's not very much highlighted in the official discourse. But at the same time, I do believe that given the importance of, you know, the war in Ukraine plays for Poland's security, the closeness of Sino-Russian ties and the potential implications of Beijing's future behavior in terms of its relations with Russia will remain a defining element. So, for example, if one day China decides to drastically increase its aid, be it economic or, like, not even to mention actual lethal aid, this could be a game changer. But, you know, this is highly speculative. But definitely, if I was to point towards one factor, that's the cooperation between China and Russia. This will have very material implications for Poland if China decides one day to actually turn its criticism towards actual engagement in terms of reshaping the security architecture and backing this pro-Russian elements that have been extremely visible in Chinese rhetoric and in Chinese strategic messaging over time. So China has been actually, you know, very open in terms of promoting Russian talking points, but at the same time, it has been still quite skillful in terms of influencing or trying to retain this neutral image, especially in the global global south. So what things that might not work in the European context might actually be much more effective in the global south. So there's a lot of things to take into consideration. But for Poland, yet again, the crucial thing is what China will do regarding the war in Ukraine vis-a-vis Russia. And this will be the most important thing for the months to come.
And a choice we will be following that very closely. I always ask my guests, what would be your advice to young China scholars that are listening to us?
Well, I still consider myself a young China scholar, but okay. I think that it's about persistence, but it's also about, you know, choosing a topic that you really feel strongly about, because you can only go as far if you really don't feel strongly about the topic you're focusing on. So it doesn't mean that you have to know from the very beginning what part of, you know, China foreign policy, domestic politics, whatever you're interested in. It's very important to, you know, expand your horizons, but definitely choose something that you feel really fascinated about. And don't be afraid to, you know, experiment, try different internships, volunteering, reaching out to people. It's often, I think, about this convergence of elements. So you have to be persistent, but also lucky. And oftentimes, yeah, it's also about being privileged, you know, for people who actually have access to education and access to China. That's one of the things that, you know, for the last couple of years, so many young China scholars have been unable to travel to China. And now with this window of opportunity opening up, I guess this is the right moment for many of young China watchers to actually try to travel to China and see these changes on their own.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
On that note, if you are a young professional or a student from Europe, interested in China or China's relations with Europe, you can submit your latest work to Choice as part of our Future Choice initiative. For more information, check our website www.chinaobservers.eu. This was Voice for Choice. If you would like to know more about our work, please do visit our website at chinaobservers.eu. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. We hope you'll make the right choice and tune in for the next episode of Voice for Choice.